helpful. And let me pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful teaching of the gospel. And we pray that you, by your Spirit, you would open our hearts, open our eyes to the truths contained, and change us as a result, we pray. Amen. It seems that as a nation, we're becoming increasingly anxious, partly because we live in such uncertain times. There seems to be more uncertainty in our culture and the world than there has been for many years, although maybe every generation has said that, I don't know. And our own individual lives are full of uncertainties, aren't they? But we're also increasingly anxious because as a culture, we don't know what to do with our uncertainty. We don't know where to take it. We're constantly told to rely on ourselves, to be independent. And that means that effectively it's saying that there's nothing beyond us, nothing bigger than us that we can rely on and take our uncertainty to. What about us as Christians? Where do we take our uncertainties, our anxieties? We're starting a new series today looking at John's Gospel. Over the years, we've worked through John's Gospel up to this point, and you can find lots of the sermons on the website if you'd like to. Also, handout, there's a reference to, at the end of the handout, there's a reference to a couple of videos that give a short summary of John's Gospel, so by all means have a look at those if that would be helpful. And we've come to the start of chapter 14, and a famous passage containing one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I'm sure many of us recognize it as Rebecca read. But Jesus begins with words that many of us will find comforting for the reasons already given. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled, God. Believe also in me. Why might the disciples be troubled? Well, listen to what he's just told them at the end of chapter 13. I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. Now, the particular source of their being troubled is Jesus has said he's about to depart. He won't be with them anymore. He's been with them for the last 3 years, teaching them, eating with them, encouraging them, comforting them. They've come to depend on him. They've tied their hopes and dreams with him and who they think he is. And now he says he's leaving them. Well, no wonder their hearts are troubled. And as Christians, we can feel the same way, can't we? It would be so much easier if we could see Jesus, if we could know he was with us in a tangible way. And this can cause us to be troubled, can increase the sense of trouble caused by everything else around us. It can increase the anxiety that we feel because of the uncertainty around us and within our lives. But Jesus says there is an alternative to being troubled. To believe, to trust. Verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be anxious. Instead, believe in me. Now, this isn't a matter of gathering up all our sort of spiritual energy to force ourselves to trust Jesus. We can sometimes think that's what we have to do, can't we? To force ourselves to believe kind of against the evidence. But no, that's not what belief is. Belief is trusting on the basis of the evidence. And that's what Jesus is calling the disciples and us to do. Just think about the evidence the disciples have. They've got to know Jesus over a number of months. Many of us have got to know him over many years. This Jesus who's talking to them, who's asking them to trust him, it's the same Jesus who walked on water, who calmed the storm, who healed the sick, who turned water into wine, who fed 15,000 people, men, women, and children, with a few loaves and fish. It's the same Jesus who, even as he says these words, when he is troubled, knowing that he's about to go to the cross and all that that holds, his concern is for the disciples and that they are not troubled. He addresses their needs, their concerns. And he tells them why he's leaving them. It's for a purpose. Verse 2. My Father's house hath many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? He's leaving to prepare a place for them in heaven. Later on, he'll tell them he's going so he can send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And over and over again, he says, I am with you. So even though he's going, the disciples have lots of reason to believe in him, to trust in him. And so do we. So what do we make of this alternative to anxiety? When we face great uncertainty, will we remember all we know about Jesus and will we trust him? When we see him, when we can't see him, and let's face it, we can't see him at the moment, will we trust that he's with us? Will we trust that he wants what is for our good, that he's with us to help us in our troubles? And I just want to pause for a moment to address anyone who might be grieving at this time, the loss of a loved one or something else. Because that's effectively what the disciples are doing here, grieving the news that Jesus is leaving them. This is a comforting passage for those who are grieving. It's a passage I often come to when I'm speaking at a funeral. When we grieve, we have all sorts of questions and uncertainties. And of course, we face the loss of someone we love, someone we put some hope in. But this passage encourages us, first and foremost, to put our trust in Jesus. Trust him in the face of loss and uncertainty, in the midst of our questions. So how can we trust Jesus daily? How can we replace trouble with trust? Well, by meditating on what the Bible tells us about him, thinking about some of those events that I referred to a moment ago, remembering his love for us, what he's done for us, that he is with us by his Holy Spirit. So that's the first point, trusting, not troubled. Second, heaven is our home. As we've seen in verses 2 to 3, he goes on to explain why he's going and where he's going. And as he does, we see even more his love for us, his commitment to us, and why we should trust him. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms, or literally dwelling places. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Jesus is going to prepare a place for his followers in his Father's house, which has lots of space for followers. All of us within us have a deep longing for home, don't we? The place we can be ourselves, the place we belong, the place we're completely comfortable, where we know we're completely known and loved and accepted. We get tasters of that in this life, the house we live in, the family, the church family. And for a while, we might think they're the real deal, but they're not. Each of them is but a shadow of the reality, the real home we were made for. And here is that real home, my Father's house, the place where God is, the one who made us, the one who loves us perfectly, the place where Jesus will be, the one who loves us so much he's going to do everything necessary, even dying on a cross, to prepare a place for us. And because he's going to do everything necessary, it will truly be home. We will truly belong. We'll truly be known, loved, and accepted. on the handout is a quote from Bishop J.C. Ryle of the 19th century. This is the place, talking about heaven, this is the place where we are generally loved for our own sakes and not for our gifts or possessions. The place where we are loved to the end, never forgotten, always welcome. Jonathan Edwards, in his sermon, Heaven, a World of Love, writes, there shall be no wall of separation in heaven to keep God's people apart, nor will they be hindered from the full and complete enjoyment of each other's love, for they shall all be together as one family in their Heavenly Father's house. This is the Christian hope. This is the only ultimate hope. Our true home, where God is, where Jesus is, where all perfected Christians are with no sin anymore, living in perfect love. Of being home. What are we longing for? Where are we longing for? If we think of somewhere on earth in this life as being our ultimate home, in the end we will be disappointed. Now, of course, we need temporary homes, a place to live, a family, a church family. But our ultimate home, our ultimate hope should be in this ultimate home, a place in our Father's house. And again, we can cultivate this hope by meditating on heaven, on what it'll be like, how glorious it'll be. And at the end of the handout, again, there's a reference to a post on my blog that might help with that. So, trusting not troubled, heaven is our home. Finally, one way. Jesus said the disciples know the way to the place where he's going. And in response, Thomas asked the first of several questions in the chapter. Verse 5. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, Jesus. We don't know the way. And in reply, Jesus says the famous verse at verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is one of his famous I am sayings. You can see the other ones on the handout, and it's worth just looking them up. They are glorious and rich, endlessly rich to think about. He's already told us he's the true bread that we need. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. Now he takes three concepts that are fundamental to our existence, and he says he's the source, he's the essence, he's the fulfillment of those three things. And two of them we've encountered many times already in John's Gospel. You could say the first few chapters are all about Jesus being the truth and the life. So starting with truth, think of John 1, famous Christmas passage that we've looked at many times. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There was someone called the Word, God revealed. And the Word became flesh at Christmas. We have seen his glory, says John, full of grace and truth. The Word reveals God. He reveals reality. He is full of truth. He is the truth. What about life? Well, again, in chapter 1, he begins, he talks about the Word by saying, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In perhaps the most famous Bible verse of all, we see that whoever believes in Jesus shall have eternal life. We'll come back to John 3:16 in a moment. Later on in the Gospel, I haven't written the reference down for this, but it's chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that one really makes us sit up and listen, doesn't it? Life is knowing God, Father and Son. If we don't know God the Father and Son through the Spirit, we don't have life. All we really do is breathe. And of course, that's why heaven is home, as we thought about earlier, because God, our life, is there. So Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, and that means he's also the way to the Father, the way to heaven. We see it in John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse of all. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He is the way to eternal life. We see that in the Gospel when John tells us why he's writing. These things are written that you may believe. The whole of John's Gospel is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, you may have life in his name. Eternal life comes through believing in Jesus. He is the way. And we see it in today's passage. Jesus is going to prepare a way, a place with the Father in heaven. He is the way. Now, of course, the idea Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is hugely offensive in our culture. We live in an age of self-identifying, self-defining, self-saving independence. Frank Sinatra said, "I did it my way." Prince Harry is one of many to talk about my truth. A quick search on Spotify shows there are lots of songs called My Life. And in a multicultural society, the idea of Jesus being the only way to God is viewed as narrow-minded and bigoted. But of course, that's because in our society, independence and autonomy God. But the God of my way, my truth, my life is exposed as foolish. It's exposed in this life. Just look at how society is collapsing under the weight of 60 million self-autonomous people. It's exposed in the life to come. Death laughs at the idea of my way, my truth, my life. And we know why Jesus is the way, the only way. We know why he can say, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Because he's the only one who's prepared a place for us in heaven. Turns out that our self-autonomy, our desire for independence, creates a barrier between us and God. But Jesus died on the cross to break down that barrier. He took all the way, my truth, my life, on himself. So that if I ask for forgiveness and choose to follow God's ways from now on, I'm reconciled to him. I can look forward to being with him now and for eternity. So Jesus is the one that we're looking for. He's the one everyone is looking for. We thought at the start about the anxiety that we feel, the uncertainty that is part of life. But there is an alternative, which is to trust Jesus. And as we trust Jesus, it transforms our present experience. It also transforms our eternity. That's what we need to hear. It's what those we know and love who aren't yet Christian need to hear. Last week, a vision for 2025, and part of that is to pray for those who aren't Christians and seek to invite them to a church service or event that might be suitable for them. And our passage today encourages us in that, doesn't it? Because it shows that Jesus is the one they are looking for, whether they know it or not. He's the one they can trust. He's the one who leads us home. He is the way, the truth, and the life. As Christians, we have something unique, something distinctive, something people are looking for. Will we pray for them that they would come to discover him for themselves? And will we, God gives us opportunity in response to our prayers, will we share him? Will we invite them to come and see? to discover Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life for themselves. Let's just pause for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer.